This is Dr. Jonathan Shaw. I want to thank you for tuning in to Crown Ministries Podcast today. We hope that this message transforms you and encourages you to pursue God's presence in a greater way. Enjoy the message. God's holy word, Luke 15 and 11, when you have it, say amen. And it reads on this wise. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me. Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all of his money, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I want to lift up in your hearing two verses of scripture that's going to be our text of emphasis. Verse number 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. Then I want to lift up in your hearing verse 19. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I want to talk to you this morning from a subject simply entitled, I'm made for this. I'm made for this. Look at somebody and tell them, I've been made for this. Oh Lord, bless this witness, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be thou acceptable in your sight. You are my God, you're my strength, and you're my redeemer. I pray, God, now that you would dip me down into the storehouse of wisdom and knowledge and pull me out, but let me hold on to revelation and understanding, that your people might therefore be saved, delivered, and set free. Let this moment your people be edified, the enemy be horrified, but you be glorified. It is in Jesus' name that we thank you and praise you for what's about to happen. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. You may have your seats. I'm made for this. I was made for this. I was made for this. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, my wife and I, we have a love relationship. It's a phenomenal one. It's a great one. It's simply marvelous. And at times we take turns ministering to each other and serving each other. And most of the time I'm driving, and wherever we're going, I'm driving, and going here, going there. But my wife knows how to drive as well. Matter of fact, she's a pretty good driver. Y'all don't tell her, but she may be a better driver than me. If you look at the parking violations and moving violations, you would agree that she is a better driver than me. And Deacon Watson, she would brag about this, that she's a better driver than I am because cops pull me over. I don't know why they always find me when I'm behind the wheel, but they pull me over. But she's a good driver. But oftentimes while in the car, we are just driving, and we just took a trip just not recently, just a little getaway, just the two of us. And we went and got away, and while we were away and traveling and she was driving, the windshield wipers were on. And because it was raining outside. And so, you know, we turned the windshield wipers on because we wanted to be able to see. And as the windshield wipers were on, she was looking and she says, you know, these windshield wipers, we need to probably change the blades. I said, yeah, we'll change them. I'll stop to an auto store and I'll get a new blade and I'll change the blade. And I was just thinking about the windshield wipers. And I mean, it was raining, y'all. It was doing its good raining. And the windshield wipers were on, just moving the water off the windshield, doing their job so that the driver can see where they're going. I mean, they're working. What we did was flip a switch at the windshield wiper. Working. And my wife asked me a question. She said, babe, I want to ask you a silly question. She said, don't think I'm crazy or silly or anything. She says, but I wonder, you know, the windshield wipers, they're just up there just busying themselves. She said, I wonder, does the windshield wipers get tired? I said, well, as long as the windshield wiper motor is working, as long as it's doing what it's supposed to do, I don't think they should get tired because it's a mechanic. You understand? It's a mechanic. But, you know, she asked that question, and she immediately, brothers, marry you somebody that can immediately shift you in revelation. Her question just immediately moved me into, oh God, revelation. And you know, we are preachers, so everything that happens in life, we find something to preach. A bus could roll by and we just see the blessings of the Lord. Anything will preach to us. And so my mind shifted to revelation. And her question was, I wonder if they ever get tired. My answer was, no, they don't get tired because they were made for this. They are fulfilling their purpose for existence. Oh God. And when you are in the center of your purpose, you never get tired. When you are in your own lane and doing what you're supposed to do, you never get tired. God. So many times I've been asked the question, Bishop, Dr. Shaw, Pastor, Prophet, whatever they call me, do you get tired? Aren't you tired? I know you need to rest today. Aren't you tired? But I tell them there is an anointing. There is a grace that is on me to do what I do because I'm in the middle of what I have been made to do. And I want to ask y'all a question today. What have you been made for? What have you been made to do? And if you find yourself tired and exhausted in doing what you're doing, it could be humbly suggested that you are not in the center of your purpose, because where you are is wearing you out, but where you're supposed to be would give you energy. Can I walk heavy for a moment? We're going to get good after a while. They were made, the wipers were made for the tires were made for the pavement of the road. The doors were made to close in its passengers. The roof was made to cover. The windshield was made for us to see. Oh God, the rearview mirror was made to see what was behind you. My God, ironically enough, the windshield is larger than the rearview mirror, because what you see should be bigger than where you came from. Oh God, God. It was made to be smaller. It was made to be less significant because you have already left there. But where you're on your way to is greater than when you left. Can I prophesy to 17 folks that will holler back at the preacher? Where you're going is greater than where you've been. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout greater. When you understand it, brothers and sisters, there are so many people now that are existing, but they are not in the center of their purpose. And maybe I could find 20 people who would be honest on a Sunday morning. They feel somewhat lost. They're merely existing in life, but they're not in the center of their purpose. They feel somewhat lost. They are windshield wipers trying to be the radio knob. They are steering wheels trying to be the wheels on the bottom of the car. They know that they're a wheel, but they're just a wheel in the wrong place. You understand? They're the hood trying to be the trunk. You understand? They know that they're supposed to be doing something, but not sure exactly what they're supposed to do. Feel a little lost. Feel a little lost. Feel a little lost. I want to preach to some people today that feel a little lost. If y'all won't lie on Sunday and tell the truth, I can help you. I can help you because, you would think that because I've been saved, you would think that because I've been going to church, I should know who I am and I should know what I'm supposed to be doing. But I've discovered that even church folks can be lost. You could speak in tongues and still be lost. You could serve in positions in the church and still be lost. And some of you, can I help some of you? I'm going to find you because I got to deliver you today. And some of you would also assume that if you are a certain age, then you should be knowing what you should be doing in life. And by now, I should know my purpose. And by now, I should know what I'm supposed to be doing. And by now, I should have X amount of dollars saved in the bank account. And by now, I should be married. And by now, I should have so many children, and by now I should have graduated school. And because you haven't achieved all of the benchmarks of the other people in society, you feel a little lost. Is there anybody in the room online that feels just a little bit lost, but you're afraid to admit it because you speak in tongues, because you have a title, and because you're supposed to know who God is? But the truth of the matter is, I feel a little lost. Oh, how can I sing the song? I once was lost, but now I'm found. But that only pertains to my salvation. But when it comes to my destiny, I don't know where I am. Somebody shout lost. Lost, I mean lost. I don't like the job I work on. Lost. I'm not sure if I should still even be living in New York. Lost. I'm not sure if I should still be here. Lost. I'm dating somebody, but I'm scared to marry him. I'm lost. Oh, God. I'm doing things, but I'm not sure if it's what I'm supposed to be doing. Lost. I'm so lost. I don't know what to do. I can't give nobody advice. I can't give nobody counsel. I hardly know how to pray because I simply feel lost. Would y'all tell the truth and say, God, that's me. That's me. I feel lost. Oh, God, if you feel lost today, he wants to find you. Oh, lost. 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 Not having insight on where you belong. Not having insight on where you're supposed to be. I feel like prophesying. Can I prophesy? Come on, would y'all take it if I prophesy to you? I prophesy that everything that's for you won't miss you. And whatever's not for you can't find you. I prophesy to every one of you that you will no longer not only be lost, but what's for you will not miss you, and what's not for you cannot find you. In other words, I speak over your lives right now that you have not missed your moment. You have not missed your opportunity. You have not missed what God has for you. God's going to bring you to another day called opportunity. I wish you would shout right now because God said you ain't missed it. You ain't missed it. You ain't missed it.
Holler at somebody and tell them, you ain't missed it. You ain't missed it. I know how old you are, but you ain't missed it. I know what you've achieved in life, but you haven't missed it. Scream at your neighbor, tell them, you have not missed it. You have not missed it. God's going to grace you with another opportunity. God's going to grace you with another chance. Glory to God. But before you get through the open door, Elder, you've got to be made. I promise I will, Sister Mary Brooks. And sometimes being made means first being found. I gotta use my examples again. I'm almost through, y'all. I gotta use my examples again. The other day, oh God, a couple of weeks ago was Thanksgiving. Y'all ate for Thanksgiving? I ate for Thanksgiving. And I was making some cakes for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And Elder Hurd, there's a certain ingredient I'd use in my cakes. I won't tell y'all what it is, but there's a certain ingredient I use for my cakes. Okay, one ingredient. I'll tell you, vanilla extract. Y'all, that's normal. That's normal in cakes. Yeah, that's normal. I won't tell you the other stuff, but I know that I needed vanilla extract for my cakes. But Sister Edna Massey, I looked in my cabinet, I couldn't find no vanilla extract. I had almond extract, and almond extract is good for a certain kind of cake, but this particular cake I needed vanilla extract, and I couldn't find any. It wasn't in the cabinet, y'all, so I had to go find me some. I'm here to tell y'all that some of you are the missing ingredient to God's cake. He's trying to stir something up. He's trying to fix something, but he looked inside the cabinet called crown and he couldn't find you because you were lost. You were lost. You wasn't where you're supposed to be, so he had to go shopping for you. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that God says, when I find you, I'm ready to use you. When I find you, I can make what I want to make, but it can't be made until I find all the ingredients. Oh God, look at your neighbor and say, hey neighbor, you gotta be found, because you're the missing ingredient to our cake. I can't preach to nobody else. Find to another neighbor and say, hey neighbor, it's important that you know who you are, because you are the missing ingredient to the entire cake. You're part of the piece. You got to know your significance. And so Jesus, here in the gospel according to Dr. Luke, chapter number 15, Pastor Moore, he talks a whole lot about lost things. He goes into a whole dissertation on things that are misplaced, out of place, or cannot be identified. And he starts off this message and this lesson about lost things, first pointing to lost sheep. And he says, a man who had 100 sheep, he loses one of them. Will he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? A man has 100 sheep, but he loses one. He loses one. Now, some of you feel lost, but how many of you have feelings about things you've lost? Okay, all right. It's not just you being lost. How many of you ever lost somebody? And I'm not only talking about death. I'm talking about just no longer in your life. Hallelujah. I just lost it. And there's a difference, ladies and gentlemen, because a lot of people like to use this particular text here, Larissa, and they want to point fingers at preachers because they obligate preachers to be the shepherd in this passage to go out and find the sheep that are lost. But at least when they read the text, you have to be able to properly apply the text. And the proper application to the text, Isaiah, is this, that the shepherd went after the sheep that are lost. Oh God. He didn't go after the sheep that left. There's a difference between those who are lost and those who left. Oh God. I am under no obligation to chase sheep that left. I'm only obligated to run after the sheep that are lost. If you don't know about you, I'm coming to get you. But if you don't want me, but want to be me, I'm under no obligation to chase after you. I want to prophesy to everybody in your life and in this room and online today, stop chasing the ones that left. If they left, let them jokers go. You're only obligated to the ones that's lost. Look at your neighbor, say, hey neighbor, stop chasing who left. God, I can't get no hip up in this church. Oh God, but I feel good right here in my soul. You gotta understand that the shepherd went after who was lost, which means they missed direction. They made a wrong turn. They are confused. And so what the shepherd got to do is go find the one that don't know what they're doing and has been confused and has been baffled and says, come on, you missed time, but it's all right. Come back to the fold. Come back to the fold. Oh God, if I'm coming after you and I tell you to come back to the fold and you have no desire to come back, you're not lost. You left. Oh God, you don't want it. You don't desire it. Come on here. I want to deliver every preacher, every pastor, every leader that's chasing people to grow your church. Stop chasing the ones that left and minister to the ones that remain, because somebody want to hear what you got to say. Watch what happens when the shepherd, Tarek, when the shepherd finds the lost sheep. The Bible says, verse 5, when he found it, he laid it on his shoulders. Hey God, he took the sheep and put it on his shoulders, which means he laid the sheep on his breast. What really happened, God, Luke didn't give us the full story. What really happened is the shepherd would take the leg of the sheep and break it because he wandered off, because he drifted off. So the shepherd would break the sheep's leg. Now the sheep can't walk. That's exactly what the shepherd wants. So the shepherd picks him up in love and holds him to his bosom. So now the sheep, his legs are broken, but his ear is closer to the shepherd's mouth. And sometimes God gotta break your legs to fix your ears. God, who am I preaching to? I said sometimes God gotta break your legs to fix your ears, because if you know my voice, you'll never wander off again. And so he's waiting till his legs get healed, but while his legs are being healed, his ear is being tuned. Look at your neighbor, say, hey neighbor, he broke my legs to fix my ears. He busted up my life so he can fix my ears, and my sheep shall know my voice, and another they will not follow. Sometimes he would break your legs just to fix your ears. But here's the love of the good shepherd. He will hold you up to his bosom. He will hold you up to his heart. He will hold you up close to you, to himself, so that you can hear his voice and never be confused about distraction again. Distraction made me wonder. Distraction made me lost. Distraction made me leave, because I was attuned to other voices and I left the voice of the shepherd. But he broke my legs to fix my ears. And when he did, the Bible says, Harry Shaw, that they rejoiced. They rejoiced. They rejoiced. They rejoiced. They rejoice. They rejoice. No, did y'all get it? They rejoiced. Watch this. How in the world, Justin, did they rejoice and the sheep legs are broke? They didn't rejoice because of his broke legs. They rejoice because he's back. Why am I shy? Hallelujah. So in other words, what we've got to learn how to do in the fold as the 99 is we got to learn how to rejoice even when sheep come in with broke legs. See, y'all don't only know how to praise them when they come in whole and they come in fixed up. But God said, can you dance when they stink? Can you celebrate when they don't look like you? Can you celebrate when they don't act like you? I want to preach to somebody that's not a hater and that's not jealous and that's not intimidated, that when new sheep come back into the fold, you know how to praise God. You know how to shout and rejoice because you came back home. You know why? You know why we have a high rate of recidivism in the church? It's because the old saints don't know how to receive the new saints. I wish I could preach the way I'm preaching, like I'm preaching. I said the new saints coming in trying to get restored, and them old mean devils that think that they holier than thou don't know how to welcome them and receive them back into the fold. Look at them asking, where you been, honey? We ain't seen you in a long time. Shut your ugly mouth up. We don't care where you been. We're just glad you back home. Mind your business. Who cares where I've been? Who cares who I was sleeping with? Who cares what church I went to? Now I'm back in the fold. I just need the 99 to rejoice. We don't need investigation. We need rejoicing. I said we don't need interrogation. We need rejoicing. Just celebrate because I'm back home. And God help us. They came back. They came back. If the church is going to grow, we better get used to new faces. Oh, come on here. I bind up every one of you demons that want us to stay the size we are right now. I bind you, you foul spirit, you, and I command you to get out of here right now and flee. God want us to grow. He want us to expand. He want us to increase. It ain't going to be my fault no more. The devil and his bald-headed mama is a liar. We're going to get new people in here. We're going to get Caucasians and Asians and Hispanics. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And Indian folks and black folks, all kind of black folks, African. Black, Jamaican black, Haitian black, y'all looking at me strange, but you don't like it because you want everybody to look like you. Somebody's gonna have to come in broken, and you're gonna have to rejoice when they come into the fold. I gotta preach further. Can I go further? They rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. They celebrate it. Hallelujah. Stop asking folks questions of where you've been, what you've been doing. We ain't seen you in a long time. It's been a pandemic, baby. Come on, you don't know what folks are struggling with back at the house just to come to church. You don't know the levels of anxiety. You don't know the levels of fear that folks are battling with just to come to the house of God. If they muster up the strength to get here, you better rejoice that they came to the household of God and they're still in the fold. Just rejoice. I'm so glad to see you. I don't know what to do. Thank God you came here. I'm glad you made it. Praise the Lord. That's why folks don't want to come to church now. You got nasty folks that while Jesus got me to his bosom, you got me in your mouth. Jesus got me next to his breast, and you got me all in your conversations. Where's she been? What's going on with her? What's happening with her? Well, what's happening with you? What's going on with you? Since the pandemic, who you screwed? Since the pandemic, what you drank? Since the pandemic, what have you done? Let's put your life on display on the screens. Let's see what's been going on with you. I wish I could preach like I'm preaching the way I'm preaching. He said, all your obligation to do is rejoice. Let me go further. If that wasn't enough of a message for the lost, he takes it a little further. Say, take it further, Jesus. He says, also, likewise, a woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and look diligently till she find it. This Jesus talking. The sheep was lost outside the fold. But the next parable Jesus gave was a coin that was lost in the... I wish y'all would preach with me. What the one ingredient, the sheep, was lost outside. But this ingredient is lost in the house. God help me. Which means you can be lost in the house. I go to church and I'm lost. Singing the choir, I'm lost. I usher and I'm lost. Oh God, I'm preaching and I'm lost. Prophesying and I'm lost. It's possible to be lost in the house. But what did the woman do? Now notice the text said a woman, not a man. Which means the personification of the one looking for it and trying to find it is a female likened unto the church. Mm-hmm. The church, the body, oh God, female, she brings forth, she births. Watch this now. It's lost in the house. What she, the church, does in order to find it is light a candle. Uh-oh. I said what she does is light a candle. Uh-oh. What she does, the church, is she light a candle. Which means what we've got to do is to find lost people in the house. We got to let our light shine. We got to light our candles. And the reason why folks are still lost in the house is because those are next to you ain't got no candle on. But look at your neighbor sitting right next to you and say, hey neighbor, if I'm lost in the house, your candle should be so lit that by the time service is over, I know who I am. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Can I preach the Crown Ministries? 2021 is the year to be lit. It's time to be lit. Let your light shine. Everywhere you go, everything you do, turn the light on. Somebody shout, turn the light on. I said, shout, turn the light on. Hey God, turn the light on. And when they turned the light on, she started looking. But watch this. A lit church wasn't enough to find what was lost in the house. It's possible that our lights could be on and they still be lost. Because watch this. A lit candle is intimidating to a candle that's snuffed out. Sometimes you can look at somebody in the center of their purpose and you can say, man, I wish I could do that. I wish I could be that. I wish I could be that lit. And sometimes people think they can do what you do when the reality is they're not anointed to do what you do. They're impressed by your courage to do whatever you're doing. See, I live by faith. I gotta go. I live by faith, but I make living by faith look so good that people think that they can do what I do. But see, it's because I'm anointed to do what I do. If you did what I did, it would crush you and destroy you. You got to have the anointing to do what I do the way I do it. You understand? It only looks easy because I'm graced for it. And when you find what you have been assigned to do, it would look just as easy on you to do what you do because you're graced for it. Y'all still here with me? Watch this. She lit the candle, but it wasn't enough. The Bible also says that after she lit the candle to find the loose coin, the loose piece, she had to also sweep the house. I'm gonna get to my text. She had to light the candle and sweep the house, which means you got to light your candle, and what the candle does is expose dirt. Once you now see dirt, clean up dirt, and you'll discover what you've been missing. God, has anybody in this room ever done like I did? Lost something in your house? I mean, some keys, some glasses, a pencil, come on here, a wallet, and you lose that, and you've been, I mean, you turned that house flipped upside down. You threw things out the dresser drawer. Some of y'all did that this morning to come to church. You was looking for them stockings and that shirt. You was looking for it and couldn't find it. Your house is a mess right now because you said, I got to get to church. But I'm looking for that shirt, that blouse, that skirt, them stockings, and I can't find it. I can't find it. Hallelujah. This is what they told me. Some organizers told me that the best way to find something is to clean up the room where you lost it. When you start cleaning up the room where you lost it, you'll discover a whole bunch of stuff. How many of you ever dug in your sofa and found loose change and loose quarters and dollars? How many of you ever gone into old coat pockets and found money up in there? Talk about, oh, the Lord bless you. No, you left it in there. Come on here. And what I'm trying to tell somebody in this room is the very thing you missing is only missing because you ain't cleaned up your house. If you sweep the house, you can discover what you've been missing. If you clean up your house and clean up your life, you can discover your anointing. If you clean up your life, you can discover your purpose. And your, I'm preaching to you. If you clean up, you'll find it. It's only missing because your house is dirty. Turn on the candle and sweep your house. He cleaned up the house. When she cleaned up the house, the third thing the woman did was she searched diligently until she found it. The Bible says, them that diligently seek me will he reward, which means she looked and looked and looked, and she didn't stop until she found it. Watch this. And Bible says when she found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together and said, rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I had lost. One would think if you got 10 pieces and you lose one, just thank God for the 9 you got left. That sound cute to people who are used to living a fragmented life. That's okay for people who are used to living a piece of life. But when you're ready for your life to be made whole, when you're ready for your life to be complete, come on here, I'm almost through. When you're ready for your life to be total and absolute, you've got to find the missing piece. Look at your neighbor and say, I got just one missing piece, one missing. I got one missing. If I get this one ingredient, everything is going to come together. The whole puzzle is fixed. The whole puzzle is together. But there's one piece I need. And the Bible says she called her friends and rejoiced and said, rejoice with me, because I found the missing piece. Once again, we see, as we saw in the first parable, there was a rejoicing after she found what was lost. Then Jesus goes and takes it further. From a lost sheep to a lost coin. I'm getting ready to close. To a lost son. From a lost sheep to a lost coin. What do I do with a lost son? And he gives another parable. The Greek word is parabola, which is mysterious talk, which means you got to have an ear to hear. It's a natural story with a spiritual significance. Parabola. And he says, there was a man who had two sons. The younger, the more immature, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. In other words, watch this. The young boy wanted his inheritance from his father. The problem with that is this, Sister Deidre, is that the father is still alive. And you only get an inheritance when the father is dead. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and he said, what we have in our generation is people who want their stuff but don't want nothing to die. God help us. The only way you're going to get your portion is when something you love dies. You're trying to get it without any death certificate. But it was Jesus' death certificate that became became my birth certificate. So nothing can be born until something dies. In other words, you don't have a real anointing until you've endured something close to you and something you love dies. You're trying to get an inheritance and ain't nothing dead. I'm here to tell you, you're going to have to cause something to be dead before you get what belongs to you. Look at your neighbor and said, what has died? 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 You so entitled. Oh God, I gotta get out of here. But can y'all pray with me real good? Pastor Sabrina, the Lord told me, he said, this generation is so entitled. They feel so entitled. They want everybody to hand something to them on a silver platter. They want people to just give it to them. You entitled you, but I curse that demon of entitlement that's over you to make you feel like that you deserve it and the world owes it to you. The devil is a liar. That's why they stormed the Capitol. That ain't nothing but privilege. That ain't nothing but entitlement. That is people who don't get their way having a temper tantrum. And that's how some folks are doing in the church. If we don't get what we want from the church, we're going to dull the church, wreck the church, and talk about the church. They stormed the Capitol, but y'all have stormed the church because you didn't get what you want because you're so entitled. But you can't get what you want until something you love dies. He wanted it, but his father was still alive. Here's what his father did. He gave him his inheritance while he was still alive, which means he gave him what he wasn't even ready for. I'm almost through. He gave him what he wasn't ready for. Uh-oh. He answered a prayer that he wasn't ready for. Some of you are complaining that some of your prayers have not been answered. But God says, I'm doing some of you a favor by not giving you what you asked me for, because you're not ready for the inheritance that's yours. It's got your name on it, but now is not the time. Oh God, look at your neighbor and say, hey neighbor, just because it's yours doesn't mean it's time for you to have it. You gotta wait till the timing is right. Come on, parents. Y'all didn't let your kids open the presents before Christmas because it wasn't time yet. It wasn't the day yet. You had it. It was theirs and their name was on the box. But it wasn't time yet. God will not give you what's yours before it's time. He said, okay, I'll give it to you. And sometimes God gives us things that we're not ready for just to show us we wasn't ready for it. You sitting up there talking about, oh God, I'm ready to get married. I'm just ready to get married. I'm ready to just get into relationships. I'm just ready. You ain't ready. You don't even clean your own house. Come on here. I said you don't cook. You don't do no laundry. The laundry in the corner right now. Talking about you want to be somebody's wife. Talking about you want to be somebody's husband. How you going to be somebody's husband? And you don't even wash your own behind. How you going to be somebody's husband? Come on here. And you don't even take care of yourself. How you going to be somebody's daddy? How you going to be somebody's mama? Come on here. Y'all talking about you ready. You ain't ready for it. If you're ready for it, get yourself ready and make yourself ready and stay ready until the blessing comes. They don't like this kind of preaching, but I'm glad because I love this job. The young man took the money and he went into a far country. He left the house. Here's the problem. The coin was lost in the house, but so was this young man. He was lost in the house like the coin, but left the house like the sheep. So the final parable was really a combination of the first two parables. The sheep left the fold. The coin was lost in the house. You know the boy was lost in the house because he made the request in the house. You know he wasn't ready because the request was made in the house. So if you had that mindset, you're sitting right here under my anointing and still lost because you made a crazy request, a lost request. And then after he got what he requested, like the sheep, he left the house. So he's lost and then he left. Whatever you do, don't leave lost. I know that you're not going to stay with everybody forever. I know you ain't going to stay in Crown Ministries forever. But by God, whatever you do, don't leave lost. was lost. And then he left. Though in his mind, he thought he gained. Because he had his inheritance. I'm almost through, y'all. Watch this. Hang on to me. And the Bible says when he left, he went into a far country. And there he wasted the substance on riotous living. He didn't know financial management. He didn't know budgeting. He didn't know how to use money. He thought he needed money. He even wanted money, but he didn't know how to spend money. God help us. He didn't know how to save money. He didn't know how to invest it. And he spent all that he had, watch this, and wasted it on friendships and relationships that were only with him as long as he had money. You got to understand something, that there are some people that's only around you because of what you possess. They're only around you because of what you have. And as long as you're picking up the tab, they right there. As long as you're paying the bill, they're going to hang out with you. But the moment you tell them, jokers, I'm not doing it anymore, or give them the answer no, then they out of here. They ain't going to be with you. If you want to test your friendships, say no. And you can tell who your real friends are. You want to test your relationship? Say no. And see how they act. Because the one that's really for you can handle your no. I'm helping somebody. I'm helping somebody. He spent it on riotous living. Verse 14, when he had spent everything he had, there rose a mighty famine in the land. See, had you invested, had you stored up some, you would have been prepared for the famine. Okay, all right. We've been having church, Crown. We've been having good church. And a lot of churches have been having church and good churches. And we did not know that a pandemic was coming. But had we not been living riotously, had we not been living loosely, when the famine came, we would have been more prepared. Oh, come on here. I said when the pestilence came, when the pandemic hit the earth, we would have been more prepared. The pandemic hit and we found that our account was dry. We had nothing left, preached Jonathan Shaw. And he saw the famine and he had no more money and he had no more friends. And that's how you got to treat yourself now, y'all. You got to test your relationships through how much you got left and through difficult times and through hard times. I found out that some people that will only be with you as long as things is going well. As long as things is going good, they're going to hang around you. But let something break off and let something go bad. Let a season get rough and tough. They're going to be out of here. And the Bible says that he left, oh my God, and had no more money left, and all of his accounts were dry. And the Bible says here that he began to look and see what he was going to do, so he found him a job. He came from a wealthy house, but he noticed that I'm not going back home and ask my father for any money because I'm too prideful for that. And there are some people who are not going to come back home because they're too prideful. They're not going to ask for help because they're too prideful. And so he went and found him a job. And the Bible says that he found one of the citizens of that country who began to keep the swine or the pigs. And notice, if Jesus is telling that story, he's probably talking more than likely to a bunch of Jewish men and women, which means he's giving it from the context, from the Jewish perspective. And according to the Jewish perspective, they have no dealings with swine. They had no dealings with pig, and they certainly do not eat it. So the connotation of this young man is that great possibility is that he was a Jew. But he went so far and was so broke that he started working for the pigs. He started feeding the swine. In other words, he was at the bottom of the bottoms and as low as he could possibly go. And now that he is there, the Bible says that Jesus begins to explain to us that he got so hungry in the middle of the famine that he says, if the pigs have something to eat, then I too can eat what the pigs are eating. Which means he took some of the pig slop and put it up towards his mouth and was getting ready to eat some pig slop. Y'all in country, I wish I had some farmers in the room and online that understand pig slop and know how to throw out the old food and the old shucks of corn, come on here, and the old peas and the old chicken bones out to the pig slop and put it in the pig slop so the pigs can eat it. Because you know by Christmas or Thanksgiving, you're going to kill that hog anyway. So you're going to fatten them up for the kill. The Bible says that the young man was getting ready to eat pig slop. Y'all got problem with chitlins and hog maws. He was getting ready to eat pig slop. And the Bible says as soon as he put the slop to his mouth, the Bible says that he came to himself, which means he shook himself and says, wait a minute, how is it now that I'm at the lowest of the lows? I don't have to be in this predicament. Do me a favor. If you can touch your neighbor and they don't mind you touching them, grab your neighbor by the hand and say, hey neighbor, wait a minute, I don't have to be this low and I don't have to be this far. And the Bible says that this young man started thinking to himself, how many hired servants does my father have in his house? And I'm sitting here about to eat pig slop. The Bible says he came to himself. I wish somebody online would just shake yourself real good and say, I got to come to myself. If you're sitting in the sanctuary, shake yourself real hard and shout, I gotta come to myself. I gotta get it together because this is my year. Come on, shake y'all and say, I got to get it together because I believe this year my blessing is on its way. And so what the young man did was he rehearsed his deliverance and he rehearsed his repentance. He said, I'm going back home and I'm going to speak to my father and I'm going to tell my father that I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. Notice y'all, in the first story with the sheep didn't repent, but the Lord broke his legs. In the second story of the coin ain't got no mouth, so it cannot repent. But in the third story, the boy had to repent and apologize for the mistakes he has made. I dare somebody lift up your voice and say, Lord, I repent of my sins. I went wrong. I did it wrong. But say, God, I'm coming back home. Somebody rev back and say, Lord, I'm coming back home. I'm getting my mind right. And the Bible says that when the boy came to himself, he said, I'm going to repent to my father. And in verse number 12, he said, Father, give me my portion. But when he rehearsed the repentance, he said, Father, make me as one of your servants. Yes, Lord. First he said, give me. But then when he was made by hell and high water, he turned around and said, make me. First he said, give me. But he wasn't mature yet. But when he got mature, he said, make me. Preach, Jonathan. I want to tell about 17 of y'all that before you pray and say, God, give me, you need to be praying. Say, Lord, make me. I dare somebody throw up your hands and say, Lord, make me. Make me. Make me a servant. Make me. Make me a disciple. Can I preach like I want to preach? Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, 2021 is the year that I shall be made whole. 2021 is my year for me to be made deliverance. God, before you give me $1 million, make me a good steward. Before you give me my healing, make me an intercessor. Before you give me what I want, make me what I need. I dare you, throw your hands up and say, Lord, make me new, make me fresh, make me over. Until I look like you, till I shine, till I resemble you, make me Make me over. Make me fresh. Make me who you want me to be. And this is the year that we shall make disciples of men. Anybody in this room, on the live, are you ready for God to make you? But I gotta warn you, when God starts making you, he's gonna use hell and high water. When God starts making you, he's gonna use pain and agony. When God starts making you, he's gonna allow your friends will betray you, your family gonna lose their mind, your close ones are gonna go crazy. But if you stay, the Lord will, he's gonna make you. When the Lord make you, you're gonna lose stuff. When the Lord make you, you're gonna miss stuff. When the Lord make you, you won't be betrayed and be denied. But you gotta testify that as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Do me a favor, high five your neighbor and say, neighbor, this is my season to be made. This is my season to be made. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy, I said joy, is coming in the morning. Make me, make me, make me, make me over, make me new. Throw your hands up and say, Lord, oh Lord, from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, make me. Somebody turn around and say, every time I turn around, the Lord is making me. Make me a millionaire. Make me who you want me to be. Make me say, yeah, say, yeah, say, say yes, say yes. Lord, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, so I can be a sanctuary, Lord, for you. Make me a witness. Make me an example. Make me the head and not the tail. Do me a favor. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, hey, neighbor, this is my year that the Lord, turn me up in the monitor, the Lord is making me, make me, make me Holy Ghost filled, make me fire baptized, make me what you want me to be. Say yeah, say yeah, oh yes. I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of here. Say yes, say yes, say yes. Say, make me. If it's the last thing that you do, make me. If God don't do another thing, he's done enough. But before you go, make me, make me. Say yes, say yes. Yes, I got to go. Y'all ain't ready. Y'all ain't ready. Y'all ain't ready. Throw your hands up and say, Lord, make me like a home cooked meal. Make me, stir me, flip me, break me, but make me. Don't give me till you make me. Say yes, Say yes. Say yes. Oh, yes. Make me. Make me. Make me. Make me. If you want to be made, praise him right there. I said, praise him right there. I said, praise him right there. Praise him if you're ready to be made. He's making me. That's why tears are coming down your face. He's making you. That's why you feel like you've been abandoned. He's making you. That's why you feel like you're lost. He's making you. He's using trials and tribulations. But I heard the Bible says we're troubled on every side, not in distress, perplexed, not destroyed, cast down, not forsaken. Make me. Make me. One more time, y'all. Say it. Say it. Say it. Oh, yeah. I'm going. I'm through with y'all. Y'all ain't ready. Y'all ain't ready. Y'all ain't ready. Make me. Make me. Make me. Make me, God. Make me. Don't get through. Don't stop. Push on me. Pull on me. I'm on the potter's wheel. I'm on the potter. And the potter wants to put you back together again. Gotta go. One more time. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. Oh, oh, oh. I need about 30 people. Start praising him. This is my making season. This is my making season. This is my making. He's making me stronger. He's making me wiser. He's making me anointed. He's making me. Yes. I'm being made. I'm being made. Make me a disciple. Make me a disciple. Make me a disciple. Make me a disciple. I'm through. Sister Danielle. After the world got finished whooping that boy up, after the world chewed him up and spit him out, he didn't say, give me. He said, I'm going back to my father and said, make me. He was immature. He said, give me. But when the world got through eating him alive, I said, when the world got through eating him alive, see, some of y'all ain't ready till the world is through with you and spit you out. Until the world curse you to your face and tell you ain't nothing and you're never going to be nothing. Hallelujah. But look at your neighbor and say, I'm being made. I'm being made. I'm being made. It's my making season. It's my making season. He said he rehearsed his repentance before he went back to his father. I got to go. Sister Robin, you knew he really believed it and wanted restoration because he practiced repenting. When you really want it, you don't do it just because you're in somebody's face. You rehearse that thing in your heart. Sometimes you feel like, y'all ain't feel like this? Let me write a letter. Maybe if I write a letter. I need to rehearse my repentance. His was powerful. I'm through. I'm over. My time. Watch this. He went to his father. He knew where home was. He went back home. It's amazing. I don't care how far you go, you know where home is. But don't you dare think for a minute that the far country is home. I gotta go. We're calling the wrong place home. He thought the far country where he was, where everybody was getting lit, they were getting towed up, they was clubbing all night, everybody was agreeing with him, everybody was patting him on the back, everybody was celebrating him because he had money. When it was all gone, he knew where home really was. He went back home. What is amazing is what he saw when he approached the house. His father was standing on the porch with his arms stretched out, waiting for his son to come home. Which means there's a possibility, Sister Carol, that this father did this every day in hopes that today is the day that he's going to come home. And when he didn't come home that day, the father went to bed that night, woke up the next day, stood on the porch. He waited for his son to come home. I'm here to tell somebody who went into a far country and you want to come back home, but you're afraid because pride is telling you that the father ain't going to receive me because I did too wrong and I stayed too long and I did so many bad things. I'm here to tell you, I'm glad we serve a father who's waiting for us to come home. Watch this, watch this. If the heavenly father would receive us, then how can we reject anyone? I got some spiritual sons and daughters out there and don't want to come back home because pride is leaving them there. I'm here to tell you, listen, no harm, no foul, and no love lost. Just come. It don't make no difference, because if God did it for me, I can't reject you. Just come. Just come home. Just come home. No investigation and no interrogation. Just come. Here's the thing. The father said, my son has come home. Let's kill the fatted calf. Put a ring on his finger. Put a robe on his shoulders. My son is home. It's time to rejoice. So the father acted like the sheep in the first parable. Everybody rejoice. The woman's friends in the second parable. Everybody rejoice. The third parable, the father is rejoicing. But there's a problem. Because the boy's brother. I got news. The problem ain't the father. It's the brothers. It's the peers. It's the siblings that got a problem with who's coming home. The brother approached the house and said, what's all this noise and celebration and music? They said, your brother who was lost is found and your father has killed the fatted calf. He said, but I've been here. Never killed the fatted calf for me. He never celebrated for me. He went to his father and said, how can you throw a big party for him who wasted your money? Who did you dirty? How can you throw a party for him? And I've been here being faithful. I came to every service. I gave my tithe and my offering. They left you. And you're going to throw a party for them? You're going to celebrate them? The father turned to the son and he says, listen, you've been here and you've been faithful. But we're celebrating because your brother was lost. You've never been lost. You don't know what it feels like to be lost and now found. You've been faithful. Yes, you have. You've been committed. Absolutely. But he was lost and he's come back home. The problem with some folks coming home is they're not met with the party and the celebration. Because people in the church actually think blessings come through superiority levels. That if I've been here longer, I'm supposed to get more. The father said, no, he was lost. You should be rejoicing with us because he's found. If 2021 crown, and I'm through, is our year of discipleship making, we're going to have to learn how to rejoice when people are found and they come home. We can't win nobody. We talking about and gossiping about. We can't make no disciples if we pointing the finger and snickering and talking under our breath. We just got to kill the fatted calf and rejoice because they came home. I don't want to know where you've been. I don't want to know who you've been with. I don't even want to know the story. I'm just glad you're here. Let's all go to work together and make some more disciples. Somebody throw your hands up and say, make me, Lord. He said, my son was dead. He's alive. He was lost. He's now found. And they begin to be merry. But that brother was angry. And he wouldn't go into his father. He wouldn't celebrate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are you going to do when the lost come to the Father? How are you going to act? Let God in this season, through our discipleship course, let him make you. So when people are one, you know how to act. I'm going home. I said, you got to know how to act. Throw your hands up and say, Lord, help me to know how to act. Teach me how to act, how to behave. Check my attitude and my character. Don't feel intimidated or jealous because new faces are coming around and coming in. You got to be ready to rejoice when the loss is found. Come on, clap your hands. Tell somebody I was made for this. I prophesy to every one of you under the sound of my voice, everything that's about to hit your life this year, every blessing, you deserve to get it because you were made for this. Don't apologize for God blessing you. You were made for this. All the hell you went through and all the craziness that you had to suffer, you were made for this. You cried some tears privately that no one was able to see publicly. You were made for this. Ha! Hallelujah. And God said, I'm getting ready to do a new thing among you. I'm getting ready to bless you. If you receive that today, just give the Lord praise right there where you are. Father, somebody today needs to know you. My prayer is that the lost sheep would come home. The lost coin would come home. And the lost son would come home. My prayer, God, is that you would make us. You may have to do it in a far country. You may have to do it through trial and tribulation. But make us. Make us. Before you give us, make us. We're not ready for what we prayed for. We're not ready for what we want you to give us. But oh God, make us. And we'll be made ready. It is in Jesus' name that we thank you and praise you. For the breaking of us is the making of us. In Jesus' name. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you're not saved today. But like the shepherd did to the lost sheep, like the woman did with the lost coin, and like the father for the lost son, I want to invite you to come to Jesus. Come home. Come home where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Come home where everybody is somebody and God is all. God wants to save you. He wants to deliver you, make you whole, and set you free. I want you today to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. I want you to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You can be saved. I don't care what you did in your past and how far you went and how long you stayed. The Lord wants to save you. He saved all of us. He can save you too. If you want to be saved today, I want you to say, I want to be saved. Just type it in the chat. If you're in this room and you want to be saved, just raise your right hand right now. I want to be saved. I want to give the Lord my life. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus Christ. If that's you, just put it in the chat, in the comments. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. And if that's you, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Change me. Save me. Set me free. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And now I'm no longer my own. I don't belong to this world. I'm yours, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. Come on, let's thank God for a saved house. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer, you're saved now.
We hope that you had an amazing experience this morning joining us on the Crown Network. Listen, this royal worship experience is like none other. So if you gave your life to Christ this morning, if you rededicated your life to Christ this morning, text us. Text the word SAVED, S-A-V-E-D, to the number 40691. That's text SAVED, S-A-V-E-D, to the number 40691.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, I would love for you to do two things. One, subscribe to our show so you can receive notification of our most recent messages. Also, if this message has impacted you, you can click the link in the description and you can give now. We'll connect with you next time on Crown Ministries Podcast.